We've been hearing about the ecstatic words of the Braja Gopis, who upon hearing Krishna's flute are simply lamenting their misfortune. And in that lamentation, they're fully associating with Krishna. In the depths of their experience of missing Krishna, of varaham bhava, of separation from Krishna, Krishna is actually present. And this is not at all artificial for the Braja Gopis, for they have fully developed pure love for Krishna. It is completely natural and spontaneous, their love for Krishna. Looking at it from a simple level, he is the most beautiful, the strongest, the most clever, the most he's the all-attractive person, and they are with him. So naturally, they see him every day because he's in the same village as they are. And everyone in that village, everyone in the surrounding area, simply talks about and loves this person, Krishna. So on that level, it is completely natural. And they live in that realm where Krishna is the center of everyone's love because of their full qualification of their own love for Krishna. It is based on the purity of their desire. And therefore, because they, those who are sadhana siddhas, those who have perfected themselves, they've perfected their desire to love Krishna purely. They have no other desire, not even a hint, not even just like sometimes after you empty a particular food from a container, the food is gone, but the smell or the fragrance of the food is still in the container. So the gopis, there's no other desire, nor even the fragrance, the slightest fragrance of any other desire, except to love Krishna, to please him, to serve him. And therefore, because that is burning within their consciousness, that love for Krishna, which is the perfection of the soul's existence, they're seeing everything in relationship to love for Krishna. And in their separation from Krishna, not being able to be with Krishna, they're feeling themselves completely unfortunate. So yesterday we heard how they viewed Prayobhatambhavahagamunio, the muni-like birds who climbed high like munis climbed to the topmost point of the Vedas. And they, like munis or great sages, are just meditating upon the sound of Krishna's flute. And with their heads cocked to the side, their eyes are closed, and they're just listening. Because that sound is all attractive. It stuns their heart. And we also heard about the rivers, Nadyas Taratarupadarya Makundagitam, and how the rivers, upon hearing the sound of Krishna's flute, they become hardened. And they present to Krishna, they alingana stagitam omni bhujamarani, with the arms of their waves, they embrace the lotus feet of Krishna, which is the desire of the gopis. And their manubhav, alingana, comes out in the form of whirlpools. Their mind is spinning when they hear the sound of Krishna's flute, and they become stunned. And they offer the lotus flowers with the waves. And then we also heard about Drista tape vrajapasun sahrama gopai. But the clouds, seeing the heat in the autumn, the hot sun, seeing how Krishna and Balaram and the cows and the cowherd boys are wandering, sancharyantam, anuvenam udiryantam, are wandering while Krishna is playing his flute. Prema pravida udita. Out of love, the cloud expands himself and he showers down, and like a great umbrella, he shields Krishna and the cowherd boys and the cows from the bright sun. And this is prema pravida. This is his offering. This is his offering. And he showers down tiny droplets of rain, which are like flowers. And this is all done out of love. And this is how the devotees relate with Krishna. How the clouds can't do what the cows do. The cows, they just lift their ears and they try to catch every single sound vibration of Krishna's flute. So that is the speciality of cows. And the rivers do something else. They offer Krishna their lotus flowers. And the clouds shield Krishna's body from the heat. So in this way, all the gopis are seeing every living entity as serving Krishna. And they are feeling themselves so unfortunate because they feel that they alone are unable to serve Krishna. So now, as the chapter is nearing its end, in the next two verses, they won't glorify, or at least in the next two, they won't glorify the flute, and then they'll return to the flute in the 19th verse. But here, this is about the Pulindis, the girls who dwell in the forest. They are the daughters. They are like adivasis. So Pona Palindya Urugaya Padabdaraga. Pona Palinda means Pona means completely or full. So they're fully satisfied, the Palindis. How did the Palindis, or these forest girls, become fully satisfied? Pona Palindya Urugaya Padabdaraja. Sri Kunkamena Dayata Stanamanditena Tadarshana Smara Rujas Trina Rushitena Limpantya Ananna Kucheshu Jahus Tadadim. The aborigine women of the Vrindavan area become disturbed by lust when they see the grass marked with reddish kunkum powder. Now, it will come up, how does the grass of Vrindavan become marked with reddish kunkum powder? But that will come up later. Endowed with the color of Krishna's lotus feet, well, that's how it comes, because this is the color of Krishna's feet. This powder originally decorated the breasts of his beloved. And when the aboriginal women smear it upon their faces and breasts, their own faces and breasts, they give up all their anxiety. Now here is the purport here. Srila Prabhupada explains this verse as follows. This is from the Krishna book. The wanton, or lusty, aborigine girls also became fully satisfied when they smeared their faces and breasts with the dust of Vrindavan, which was reddish from the touch of Krishna's lotus feet. The aborigine girls had very full breasts, and they were also very lusty. But when their lovers felt their breasts, they were not very satisfied. When they came out into the midst of the forest, they saw that while Krishna was walking, some of the leaves and creepers of Vrindavan turned reddish from the kumkum powder that fell from his lotus feet. His lotus feet were held by the gopis on their breasts, which were also smeared with kumkum powder. But when Krishna traveled in the Vrindavan forest with Balaram and his boyfriend, the reddish powder fell on the ground of the Vrindavan forest. So the lusty aborigine girls, while looking towards Krishna, playing his flute, saw the reddish kumkum on the ground and immediately took it and smeared it over their faces and breasts. In this way, they became fully satisfied, although they were not satisfied when their lovers touched their breasts. All material desires can be immediately satisfied if one comes in contact with Krishna consciousness. So coming in contact with Krishna consciousness means coming in contact with Krishna. And then, and only then, can the soul, we ourselves, become satisfied. So here, what's being described as these Adivasi girls who were young and full of desires, when they saw the reddish kumkum powder on the grass of Vrindavan, they took that. Now, how did it get there? It came from Krishna's lotus feet. And how did it get to Krishna's lotus feet? There are three answers to that question. How did it get, rather, to the on the dust, on the grass of Vrindavan? There are three answers to that question that the different acharyas say. So the one that Prabhupada explains here is that Krishna, it was on Krishna's feet because it was originally on the breasts of the gopis, and Krishna, the gopis had taken Krishna's feet and placed it to their hearts, the softest part of their body. And then Krishna, that kumkum powder was transferred to Krishna's lotus feet. And when Krishna walked through the forest, the grass was marked with that. And that grass holding it, the aborigine girl says, took it and smeared it across their body. And they became fully satisfied in that way. So that's what's described here. And the gopis are basically saying that these aborigine girls, these Adivasi girls, they became satisfied. But how are we going to become satisfied? Even they became satisfied, but what about us? How are we going to remove the burning desire to be with Krishna from our hearts? That's the basic idea here. So, in this text, Srila Sridhar Swami says, the gopis egotistically speak this verse. Even these people, who are much lower than us, are satisfying themselves by Krishna's mercy. How about us? So, purna means feeling successful. And the Palindis are the women of the Sabara tribe. That means the hunters. Sabara means sometimes those who herd the pigs. How did this occur? How did they become fully satisfied? In answer to this, the gopis state that first the kumkum was ornamenting the breasts of his girlfriends, and then, at the time of conjugal sports, that kumkum acquired the effulgence of the redness of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, Urugaya. Then further, by his wandering about in the places of the forest, the kumkum became attached to the blades of grass. And by sight of that, by seeing the sight of such kumkum, which the ladies experienced, who were experiencing the distress created by Cupid, by that kumkum they smeared it on their faces and bodies, which were pained with desire. Thus, by coming with contact with Krishna, even indirectly coming in contact with Krishna's lotus feet, these Palindis became purna, or completely successful. But what happens to others such as ourselves, who are burning with desires to be with Krishna? What happens to us who are not able to find such a means of eradicating the same distress. So the gopis are always in lamentation. Lamentation about what? That they cannot be with Krishna and cannot serve Krishna. And nothing can satisfy them, because that is all that they want. They want to serve Krishna. And Srila Sanatana Goswami comments. The word, this mentions, Sanatana Goswami mentions, that the Palindis of the wives of the Bilas and the other tribe, the local tribes people, these Palindis were practically devoid of any decorative ornaments. They lacked any brightness in their complexion, and they were simply wandering about in the forest in order to gather wood, wild vegetables, and other things. They were just collecting things from the forest for their families. But even though their desire was not to be with Krishna, our desire is to be with Krishna, the gopis are saying. But even though that wasn't actually their desire, when they saw that, they simply smeared upon their limbs the kunkum, which they picked up from the grass, and they gave up all their different kinds of distress. Sanatana Goswami also gives the alternative explanation that the kunkum on the breast of the gopis resembled the redness of Krishna's feet. And when they were wandering in the forest looking for Krishna, they could not find him. They began to roll upon the grass, and the kunkum thus became attached to the grass. So the gopis, that's how the kunkum came on the grass. Sanatana Goswami gives two ways. The second way is that the gopis, when they were wandering around looking for Krishna, in the madness of their separation from Krishna, they would roll about on the grass, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And in that way, the kunkum which decorated their bodies became attached to the grass. And that's what the palindis, that's what they took and smeared upon their bodies. And then the comment of Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives a third explanation. Leaving aside the attraction of the flute, this verse speaks of the lotus feet of Brishabhanu Nandini, Sri Radha, which have the power, by even the slightest contact of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, they have the power to induce complete attraction to Krishna and to raise one to the seventh level of prema called Madana and Mahabhav, the highest positions of prema, of love for Krishna. Even the slightest contact of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani have that power. So this verse describes that. One gopi said, "The Palinda women have reached perfection, but we have not. Therefore, we want to know what kind of austerities have they performed." This is the hint in the gopi's statement about the perfection, the purna, of the Palinda women. The gopis continue, "Why are they perfect? What has made their perfection? They smear their face and breasts with the kunkum that has dyed the feet of Krishna. Urugaya Padabjuraga. Where did that kunkum come from? The kunkum came from the breast of the gopi Krishna was enjoying with, namely Radhika. Dayeta Stana Manditena. Though we desire to praise Radhika's good fortune of having such exalted attraction for Krishna. And I all radhito nunam bhagavan harishwara yam no bahaya govinda. Later on, the gopis are going to again indirectly glorify the supreme position of Srimati Radharani. Because things that are very, very, very deep and very secret, they are not so expressed and broadcast very widely. So the gopis are not speaking it completely directly. Out of shyness, we do not specifically mention her. Though that is indeed the kunkum of Radha, due to lust, the Palindas do not even show it proper respect. What did they do? Upon seeing the grass smeared with kunkum, which had fallen from Krishna's feet after he had enjoyed with Radha, the Palindas became filled with lust. This is from the kunkum off of Krishna's feet, which was on the grass. They became filled with desires. I can't imagine, they say, what would happen if they actually saw Krishna personally. If just the kunkum could make them mad with love, what would happen if they saw Krishna personally? Then in the next verse, then they move on. Because they're moving to, how are we going to get the association of Krishna? They just don't want to lament. They want to associate with Krishna. They don't want to see everyone else as fortunate and them as unfortunate only. They want to be with Krishna. It's powering them. So how are they going to do that? So they have an idea. And the next verse expresses that idea. Hantayanadri abala haridasavajo yam ramakrishna charanas parisa pramoda manom taroti sahago ganayotayo yad paniha suyavasa kandara kandara mulai. So this verse, because each of the verses are spoken by a different gopi, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami says that this verse has emanated, specifically this verse, which glorifies Giriraj Govardhan, has emanated directly from the mouth of Srimati Radharani. This is the gopi who spoke this verse. Hantayan Adri. Adri means mountain. Abala means women. Oh, Hantayan Adri, oh, this hill, oh friends, is Haridasa Varja, the best of all the servants of Hari. So that Srimati Radharani is thinking of Govardhan Hill and saying that Hari has, Lord Hari or Krishna has so many dasas or servants, especially three that will be described in the commentaries are known. Three in the Bhagavatam are called Haridas. One is Yudhisthira Maharaj, a second is Uddhava, and the third is Giriraj Govardhan. They are glorified as Haridas. To become a servant of someone in this world is not usually a glorification, but when it's servant of, being master is glorification in this world, but when it comes to being the servant of Krishna or Lord Hari, that is the highest position. And so much so that of all the different servants, Srimati Radharani is saying that Giriraj Govardhan is the best. So Radharani is glorifying even. So Hantayana Adriya Balaharidasa Varjo. Yat means because. Why? Why is this the best servant? Is he the best servant? Rama Krishna Charanas Parisha Pramoda. He becomes jubilant when being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna. And how does a hill become jubilant? His hairs stand up, his leaves, the grass and the bushes, they stand up in ecstasy like the hairs of the body are thrilled. So because being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Lord Krishna and Balaram, Rama Krishna, Charana, lotus feet, he becomes Pramoda. Pramoda means jubilant. Manam tanoti sahago ganayor tayoyat, and he offers all in this way. He has a way of offering respect to Krishna through service. And he serves Krishna. and he serves all those who are serving Krishna. How? Paniya suyavasa kandara kandara mulai. So we'll read the translation and then the purport, the part of the purport from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur will explain the services with the paniya suyavasa kandara kandara mulai. Of all the devotees, this Govardhan Hill is the best. All my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balaram, along with their calves, cows, and cowherd friends, with all kinds of necessities. Water for drinking. In other words, he provides. Because when Krishna goes to Govardhan Hill, he goes there to enjoy his pastimes with all his devotees. And what Govardhan Hill does is supply ingredients for the enjoyment of these pastimes. So he supplies water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruit, flowers, and vegetables, and also mula, the roots, tasty roots from underneath the earth for the eating of the boys and Krishna, and caves for so much enjoyment. In this way, the hill offers respects to the Lord by serving, providing situations so that all the devotees can become happy in their relationship with Krishna. Not pushing himself forward, but providing, serving all the different rasas in these ways. So Krishna can taste the sweetness of his relationship with the devotees. And the devotees can taste the sweetness of his relationship with Krishna. So Srimati Radharani appreciates that so deeply, and how fortunate Giriraj is, because being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna, he's feeling so jubilant, ecstatic, pramod. So this is the desire. This is the desire of the gopis, to be touched by the lotus feet of Krishna. So being in this way, the hill offers respect to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant. This translation is quoted from Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila 18:34. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the opulence of Govardhan as follows. Paniya refers to the fragrant, cool water from the Govardhan waterfalls, which Krishna and Balaram drink and use to wash their feet and mouths. Govardhan also offers other beverages such as honey, mango juice, and pilo juice. Suyavasa indicates durva grass used to make the religious offering of agya. Govardhan also has grass that is fragrant, soft, and conducive to the strong growth of cows and increased production of milk. So serving the cows, serving the boys, serving Krishna. Thus this grass is used for feeding the transcendental herds. Kandara refers to the caves where Krishna, Balaram, and their friends play, sit, and lie down. These caves give pleasure when the weather is too hot or too cold, or when it's raining. There's some nice pastimes that take place in the caves. And sometimes Krishna even meets the gopis in the caves of Govardhan. So when it starts raining, during the rainy season, immediately everyone wants to go for shelter. So Govardhan provides the shelters from the rain. So just imagine the cowherd boys, for example. They love Krishna so much. All they can think about all day and night is Krishna. They come to Mother Yasoda's house, Nanda Maharaj's house, in the middle of the night, calling out, "Oh, Kanhaiya, oh, Krishna, wake up, it's time to herd the cows. Come, you're late. Let's go." And Mother Yasoda goes to the window and says, "Go to sleep. Go home and go to sleep. It's still the middle of the night. Let Krishna take rest. You're disturbing him. Now go, go,
Come back later when the sun has risen. Sorry, Mother Yasoda, we didn't know. Sorry. They go back home. And then a half hour later, they'll come back. Krishna, Krishna, come. It's time to go and herd the cows. You're late. They cannot tolerate a moment's separation because they love him so much. And then when it rains, they go into the caves with Krishna. And how happy they are to be with Krishna in the caves. And what do they do in the caves? The echo comes back. They call out, because you have to do something in there. Boys are boys. Who are you? Who's in here? And then they hear an echo. Who's in here? Oh, who are you? Tell me. Who are you? Tell me. If you don't stop acting like this, I'm going to beat you. If you don't stop acting like this, I'm going to beat you. I'm Krishna. You can't beat me. I'm Krishna. You can't beat me. And in this way they play and they call it. They enjoy and enjoy and enjoy. Sometimes when it hails. You know that one? The hail comes. They take handfuls of hail and come in and give it to Krishna. And they go in there and, to be with Krishna. So Govardhan Hill provides these facilities for the rasas and all. And there's one cave, Manikundala Cave, and a little bit of that is still existing at Govardhan now, where Krishna and the gopis used to meet. So all facilities, just help, just serving all the different rasas. Serving the cows, giving them soft grass, serving the boys, providing beverages for them to drink when it's hot, shady trees, vines, so many things. So in this way, even Srimati Radharani appreciates Giriraj Govardhan as Haridas Savajo, the best of all servants of Hari. So we'll read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment, or the part of the comment that hasn't been mentioned here. Excuse me. The gopis talk amongst themselves. Oh, Sakis, without taking shelter of a great devotee, our desires will never be fulfilled. We have heard from Gagi, the daughter of Gagamuni, about the glories of Hari's devotees. We have to take shelter of some devotee to get out. What is their desire? What is their only desire? To be with Krishna so they can serve him. So to get their desire, they're moving towards action now. They were so ecstatically tortured by everyone else being mercy, they want to move towards action and get mercy, and they decide the only way we can see Krishna is get the mercy of the devotees. And who is the best of all the servants of Hari? Giriraj. So how can we get his mercy? So this is what they're thinking. So we have heard from Gagi, the daughter of Gagamuni, about the glories of Hari's devotees, and that Govardhan Hill is the best amongst all the devotees of Hari. Therefore, let us go there today. Go where? Govardhan Hill. Today. Right now. Let us bathe in the Manasa Ganga and take darshan of Haridev. Raise your hand if you've ever bathed in the Manasa Ganga. Yes? Have you seen Haridev also? Many times on Vajmanda Parikram? Yes. And take darshan of Haridev, the presiding deity of that place. Certainly, our elders cannot object to this. Moreover, at this time, Krishna is playing on the slopes of Govardhan, which is their desire. Who will complain if we want to go to Govardhan Hill, bathe in the Manasa Ganga, see Haridev, and if Krishna happens to be there? Because every day Krishna would go to Giriraj to herd the cows.
Deciding upon this plan, the gopis glorify Govardhan Hill because it fulfills the desires of Krishna, his companions, and hopefully Govardhan Hill, by Govardhan's mercy, will fulfill their desire to meet Krishna as well.
So that's the mood that they're saying this verse.
Now there's some explanation of the three different Haridasas. There are three chief Haridasas, devotees of Lord Hari, mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yudhisthira Maharaj, Uddhava, and Govardhan. First, Yudhisthira is described. Haridasyasya Rajase Rajasuya Mahodayan Naiva Tripyan Pasam Santa Pibamartyo Mitam Yata. As they glorified the wonderful Rajasuya Jagya performed by that great saintly king and servant of Lord Hari Yudhisthira, they were not satiated. They were not satisfied. It didn't fill them completely. Just as ordinary men is not satisfied when drinking nectar, they wanted to drink more and more of glorification, of the glorification of the Rajasuya sacrifice. The second, Uddhava is described. Sadidvani girir jonir vikshan kusumitam jumam krishnam samsmayan reme haridaso rajokasam. That servant of Lord Hari, Uddhava, seeing the rivers, forests, mountains, valleys, and flowering trees of Praja, enjoyed inspiring the inhabitants of Vrindavan by reminding them of Lord Krishna. Of the three servants of Hari, the present verse states that Govardhan is the best, Haridasa Varjo. From the touch of Krishna's lotus feet, because we also see that Yudhisthira Maharaj never came to Vrindavan, and Uddhava came for a short period, several months, but Giriraj is there all the time performing service. From the touch of Krishna's lotus feet, the rocks of Govardhan become as soft as mud. In order to preserve the unique marks of Krishna's feet, such as the goad, the one who controls the elephant carries a stick for that, flag and thunderbolt. Contacting Krishna's lotus feet causes Govardhan to display symptoms of ecstasy, such as perspiration in the form of melting stones, hair standing on end as erect blades of grass, and tears of love as gushing waterfalls. And then there's the part of the purport, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's comment that's placed in the purport. And there's one more comment by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Externally, the phrase Yat Rama Gopai, Yat Rama Krishna Charanas Parisa Pramodha. Externally, the phrase Rama Gopai means Balaram. The gopis use this phrase to hide their feelings for Krishna. However, for the gopis, Rama refers to Krishna, who is Ramaniya, charming and attractive, and Ramanam, the source of intimate enjoyment. By the touch of Krishna's feet, such joy springs up in their hearts. And then so they're saying we should go to Govardhan now. And then the final verse of their words is text 19. Ga Gopakar Anuvanam Nayatoru Dada Venusvana Kalapadas Anubhitsi Sakya Aspandanam Gatimatam Pulakastarunam Niyoga Pasha Kritalakshanayovachitram. My dear friends, as Krishna and Balaram passed through the forest with their cowherd boyfriends leading their cows, they carry ropes to bind the cow's rear legs at the time of milking. This is called Niyoga Pasha. They have ropes, and the acharyas explain that the ropes on both ends are decorated with pearls and flowers. And the boys take these ropes and sometimes they put it around their shoulders and they tie up. You see this even in Vrindavan today, so that the cows don't run away, or the cow, you want, or the calves. They use it on the calves and the cows when, at the time of milking. They tie the rear legs of the cows sometimes, and sometimes they'll tie the calves up so they don't take all the milk, because the calves will get sick if they drink too much milk, because they're very greedy and they don't care. They just want milk, 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 as much as they can have, and they'll drink, because the cow produces more milk than the calf can drink, because it's also, by Krishna's arrangement, meant for human consumption, the milk, the excess milk. But the cows don't have any gauge to say that you've had enough. So they'll pull the cows away and tie them up. So Krishna and Balaram had these ropes with them, and they, like everything that Krishna does, it's with such style. So sometimes they would have the rope around the shoulders, and sometimes they would decorate their turbans with it. And there's one picture I've seen where you can see that Krishna has the wonderful turban decoration of the ropes. You have that one? You've seen one? So my dear friends, as Krishna and Balaram passed through the forest with the cowherd boyfriends leading their cows, they carry ropes to bind the cows' rear legs at the times of milking. When Lord Krishna plays on his flute, so they have the ropes, and Krishna plays on his flute, what is the effect of that flute? We've heard so many effects, but the sweet music causes the moving living entities to become stunned. Who became stunned? The birds became stunned, the calves became stunned, the cows became stunned. The river. Oh, that's the non-moving living entities. Oh no, they're moving, aren't they? The river becomes stunned. And the non-moving trees to tremble with ecstasy. These things are certainly wonderful. They're glorifying the effect of the flute. Those things that move become stunned, and those things that don't move start moving and acting like the trees. What was that term? Pravalam. Began to blossom. The trees began to blossom with their wonderful branches and twigs. So this is very wonderful. So the last verse described the gopis' plan. We have to go and see Krishna. We'll go to Govardhan. And by the blessings of Giriraj, we will see Krishna there. And now the plan, it's starting to move forward. But here's the purport. Krishna and Balaram would sometimes wear their cow herding ropes on their heads and sometimes carry them on their shoulders. And thus they were beautifully decorated with all the equipment of cowherd boys. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, that the ropes of Krishna and Balaram were made of yellow cloth and had clusters of pearls at both ends. Sometimes they wear these ropes around their turbans, and the ropes thus become wonderful decorations. We'll read the comments of Srila Sridhar Swami and Vishwanath. Oh friends, this is not so wonderful in comparison to the following. The two of them, Rama and Krishna, are grazing the cows from forest to forest in the company of the cowherd boys. How do they do it? By the vibration of their great flute, whose tones are very sweet. Amongst different bodies, those that are mobile become stunned. This is the really amazing thing. And they take the nature of immovable creatures. And the immovable entities, like trees, their hairs stand on end, which is the nature of moving creatures. And Vishwanath says over here. Furthermore, we should not delay in going to meet the flute player, because they have just made a plan to go to Govardhan, and we should not delay. Since he's following the cows, because it's Ga Gopapar Anuvanam Niyatorodara, he's going from forest to forest. We should not delay. Since he's following the cows, he may soon wander off to a distant forest. Anuvanam. With this idea, the gopis speak this verse to indicate that the cowherd boys were in the mood of serving Krishna. The syllable ka is added to the word gopa. Thus the word gopakar indicates that the boys, what was their service? Superficially, on one level, they're taking care of the cows, but rather than that being their service, it's more their excuse. Come, let's go and herd the cows so that they can be alone with Krishna and get Krishna all to themselves. And Mother Yasoda, every day she'd say, now you take care of Krishna. Sridham, you stand on one side of Krishna. Stand on Balaram, you stand always in front of Krishna. Sridham, you stand over there. You take care of him. You protect him. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, the word Gopakar indicates that the boys were protecting, they were in a serving mood to Krishna. They were protecting Krishna with great love. Another indication of the word is that every morning they went with Krishna. Mother Yasoda brought them together for this purpose. She told all the boys that you have to take care of Krishna. Because every day a demon would come. And who would kill the demon? Krishna mostly, sometimes Balaram. And the boys, they would be in the mood of protecting Krishna. But Krishna, of course, because it was out of their love. While Krishna played the flute and wandered from forest to forest herding the cows, this produced a very wonderful scene. And what was so wonderful? What was so astounding about it? When the moving living entities, Gati Matim, heard the flute sound, they became motionless, a spandanam. The non-moving trees adopted the qualities of humans and trembled in ecstasy. Nyoga Pash is a type of noose used to restrain calves at milking time, also the type of cows. That rope, Nyoga Pash, which had clusters of flowers and pearls at both ends, signified them as cowherd boys. Sometimes Krishna and Balaram would tie that rope on their yellow silk turbans as stylish ornaments. So everything Krishna does is so wonderful. And then the final verse in this chapter is Sukadev Goswami speaking. He's sort of summarizing everything. Evam vida bhagavato. In this way, Bhagavata, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he who possesses all opulence, all fortune, Ya Vrindavana Charina, who was wandering in the Bhagavan Krishna, Hari, was wandering in the Vrindavan forest, Vanayanto Mito Gopya, and in this way, amongst each other, the gopis, were Vanayanto. They were engaged in speaking about Krishna and glorifying him. Kridas tan mayatam yayu. And kridas, they were glorifying the pastimes. And mayatam, in fullness of ecstatic meditation upon him. And then yaya, they attained him. Because two verses ago, they made the plan to go to Govardhan. The last verse, let us not delay. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, as we'll read, or Sanatana Goswami and Vishwanath, or Vishwanath actually said that they actually went to see Krishna at this time. So here is the purport here. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada comments, this is from Krishna book, this is the perfect example of Krishna consciousness, to somehow or other remain always engrossed in thoughts of Krishna. The vivid example is always present in the behavior of the gopis. Always present. No other thought can enter their mind. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya declared that no one can worship the Supreme Person, the Supreme Lord, by any other method that is better than the method of the gopis, by their love and constantly wanting to serve him and remember him. The gopis were not born in very high Brahmin or Kshatriya families. They were born in the families of Vaishyas, and not in big mercantile communities, but in the families of coward men. They were not very well educated, although they heard all sorts of knowledge from the Brahmins, the authorities of Vedic knowledge. The gopis' only purpose was to remain always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. And they are the best of worshippers of Krishna. Sanatana Goswami says, not a long comment. Thus the gopis related these and many other activities of Krishna's. Of how many of them can I speak? Summarizing, Sukadev Goswami speaks this verse beginning with Evam. Bhagavan Mayetam means always being absorbed in chanting and hearing about Krishna. Or else it means experiencing the ecstasy of meditating upon him. Or else it means that they were absorbed in his pastimes, always being engaged in playing with him. Or else the word tat is used here because the particular distress of the blazing fire of ecstatic love has arisen. And if his name were to be taken directly, then just as previously, the gopis would have become extremely, supremely agitated because of the rising of the burden of love. So Krishna's name is not in here, it's just tat. Is used. Tanmayayo. Meditation on him. The word gopya indicates that this is simply their nature. This is simply their nature. That they love Krishna spontaneously, continuously. This is Krishna consciousness. Now our nature is what? We have to struggle against our nature. To become absorbed in Krishna consciousness. We have to struggle and struggle and struggle because our nature is conditioned by Maya. But when our true natures come out, our spiritual nature, then it is natural and spontaneous. So the gopis do this because indicates that this is simply their nature, and because in all circumstances they are enriched with the opulence of pure love of Godhead, they are by all means the most fortunate. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, short comment, but there's something that completes those other verses. Sukadev Goswami summarizes the chapter in this verse. The gopis attain the platform of being with Krishna, tanmayetam, by describing Krishna's flute playing, forest rambling, and cow-herding pastimes. Because they love Krishna just by talking about him. They were with him because Krishna is absolute, abhinatvam namanamano. So they were actually with him by talking about it. But not just talking about it, but with a deep mood of varahabhava, or missing Krishna. Then Krishna actually cannot keep away from them. The gopis attain the platform of being filled with Krishna by describing Krishna's flute playing, his forest rambling and cow herding pastimes. The word mita with one another infers mita rahasi, meeting one another in a secluded place. Thus, following after their boyfriend, the gopis met their beloved Krishna in a private place and actually engaged in different intimate pastimes with Krishna. Then afterwards, the gopis attained a state of tanmayatam, absorption and ecstatic meditation upon Krishna's pastimes, and enchantment and transcendental ecstasy. And then he quotes a verse from a later chapter, the first chapter of the Rasa Panchadaya, the first of the 29th chapter. Because the gopis say later, so he concludes, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur concludes that they actually met Krishna. And he quotes this verse, the 36th verse from the 29th chapter of the 10th canto. O lotus-eyed one, from the time we touched your feet with our hands, we could no longer live with our husbands. Therefore, because of this verse, it is reasonable to say on this day, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, the gopis enjoyed with Krishna. Because they were going to Govardhan.
In the spiritual world, the Krishna grows up and goes to Dwarka and goes to Mathura and Takamsa and all that. In the spiritual world, that's the karma price. They be Krishna every day without chanting all the time, without him growing up.
Time. In the spiritual world, here, time's forces to change everything. Because who does time serve? It doesn't serve us. And they talk about time management. But time doesn't, we can't manage time. We can manage ourselves only, to some degree. It's not time management, it's us management. Because time doesn't serve us here. It serves to destroy us, practically speaking. That's the effect of time, rather than serving us. But in the spiritual world, time serves Krishna. So whatever is favorable for the pastimes of Krishna, that's what happens. Organized by Krishna's Leela Shakti. Time is another servant of Krishna there. So there's no past, present, and future like there is here. So therefore it is obviously very difficult to understand what it's like in the spiritual world, because without a tiny brain, what can we understand of all we know is this kind of time, this linear time that moves forward. So we can't actually understand. But time is a servant of Krishna. In this world it serves Krishna by Kalosman Lokacharya, destroying everything. In the spiritual world that it serves in another way. It's stretchable too. During the Rasa dance, it was one night, but it lasts millions and millions and millions of years. It just stretches.
In possible.
Yes, of course. It's the spiritual world. But at least it's not boring.
But there are two levels on which Krishna's Leela takes place, when in the material world and in Goloka Vrindavan.
Yes.
And in the material world, it does have the semblance of time with Krishna growing up.
Yes.
And then, but transcends.
But one thing is that he has more than one question within his one question.
But up there, it does stay the same age.
When I answered the part on time. Yeah, but and here
he appears to take birth
and he appears to get older, but exactly how Mother Yashoda is experiencing her boy is very hard for us to understand even here. Just like even in this world, when you see your mother, she's, no matter how old you are, she always is thinking of you as a little boy. So how Mother Yashoda, how she sees Krishna and how Krishna deals with her, it's hard to say. But she's always experiencing him as a little boy. But yes, he grows up, but he never leaves, and he leaves and he goes to Dwarka and he goes and kills Kamsa, but he never leaves, because in Uppercut Leela he never leaves. And in his Vasudev form he leaves, but as Krishna, he never leaves.
Inconceivable.
Yes, that's the conclusion. It's inconceivable. So we we ask questions. On this level, we ask questions just to hear more about Krishna. We don't need to understand. So tomorrow we'll begin hearing one of the, we'd have to say one of the most incredible pastimes of Krishna. How the Supreme Personality of Godhead just gets so naughty that he steals all the clothes of the gopis who are bathing. It's very un-Judeo-Christian. Or Buddhistic. This is on a completely different level. There's nothing like this. So we'll talk about that tomorrow, Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Yeah.